Austin, Texas. Good morning, baby. Here we go. 9 a.m., you know what that means. The Fill-In with Adam Wagner, Joe Houston Jr., and the man behind the glass, bringing you in and off those Austin radio airwaves, Sam Pikachu. How you guys doing out there in Austin, Texas? It's the Fill-In. We don't really have a Twitter handle yet, but you can tweet the show at the Horn ATX. You can tweet me at Not the Fake Wags. You can tweet Joe at Joe Houston Jr. We invite you to be a part of the conversation. Conventionally, of course, you can call us at 512-447-3776. Or hit us up on that Vaqueros or Specs text line, rather, which is 512-337-3776. Talking a beautiful game of soccer here in Austin, Texas and around the globe. Few domestic leagues finishing up. Had Bundesliga finishing up yesterday. You'd call last night.
Yeah.
Came on my TVs last night. Bayern doing it. Bayern doing Bayern things. Sending the holy trinity of Bayern Munich, if you will. Sending them off.
Yeah.
And then era coming to a close in championship fashion. Again, welcome to the Fill-In. You at least got us until Memorial Day. That is the shelf life, the new shelf life. You know what? You can tell us that we're going to be off the air in what, a week? We'll still be back. We'll find a way, baby. I don't know. No, it's called the infill. It's called the Fill-In because it started out. We were just supposed to do a couple of shows, man. Just a few weeks, talk a little bit about soccer, bridge the gap between the new shows coming on, which was Soccer Matters, hosted by Glenn Davis, and does a tremendous show. But you know, since the voice of the listener, you, the people of Austin, Texas, have spoken and said, yes, the Fill-In is pretty decent. We need Adam Wagner and Joe Houston on there. We need to talk a little soccer. I'm sincere gratitude. I'm serious. I don't know what it is we're doing that you like. I mean, I'm just out here, you know, BS and talking a little bit about you know, about the beautiful game and about the team that I love. It's a lot of homerism a little bit. You know, I talk about the boys from the bridge a lot, rightfully so. They're a decent team. They're a powerhouse. Well, getting back to that form, I don't know. It's going to be a tough sledding here come next season, I'm pretty sure, man. We got into the Champions League, but I don't know if we'll be able to sustain. We'll talk a little bit about that. Joe is a Reds fan. He is reeling right now. Well, not reeling. He's just, you know, basking in the sunshine. A little bit, you know, little bit of a disappointment from your all's domestic league, from the Premier League. We'll talk a little bit about that, but he should be gloating. He's got a Champions League championship to play for with another Premier League. So we'll a Premier League club. We'll talk about that. But yeah, lots going on, man. We'll review the league in soccer and get going here in just a few minutes, and we'll also talk about the Premier or the it is a Premier League final. It's a Champions League final, but we'll get the predictions about that and then turn it over to a little bit of MLS and then get ready for hour two when the Wagner Wire essentially starts. That'll be legitimately hour number one for the Wagner Wire show, even though this is considered the Wagner Wire, but we call it the Fill-In, though, because we still like to pay our respects to the Throw-In, which was my three friends of Kit, Justin, and Zach doing their thing, talking about soccer, the beautiful game around Austin and all around the world. But, Joe, how you doing, my brother?
Doing great. Doing pretty awesome.
Doing great.
Calm down. Yeah. I'm, you know,
Joe. I don't know if you guys out there know this, but Joe's motto is stay calm.
Yeah.
He had a little bit of condition, but
Yeah. So I'm the monotone voice, the always kind of level. That's kind of me. That's just my thing. I get excited about stuff occasionally.
I'm never excited.
Yeah. You bring the energy. I'm just kind of here. Maybe people like it, maybe they don't. But
hey, man, if you can contain the chaos, baby, it's one hell of a tool. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
No, it's great. You definitely, you bring a much needed portion of the show. You keep me. Hey, you're scaring me over there, Wax. You're scaring me, man. You okay? No, yeah. How you been, man? It's been an emotional roller coaster for you. The over the past 2 weeks. Some ups and downs, strikes and gutters, as the Big Lebowski would like to say. But
I
don't know, man.
I mean, I'd kind of resigned myself to the fact that Liverpool was going to come second in the league and not make it to the Champions League final. And so one of those I was wrong, which is I'm extremely happy about. You know, Liverpool's in the final against Tottenham in Champions League final. It's haven't won one since 05, went to one in 09 or 08 or whatever it was. But, yeah, this is huge. I'm super excited about it. The fact that we were down – I mean, we talked about it a little bit last week. The fact that we were down 3-0 to arguably the best team in the world and were able to come back in the second leg and win 4-0, that was
– against a club like Barcelona.
Yeah, exactly. It's Barcelona. That is the best team the last
– at the top of the pantheon. I mean, you want to add Liverpool to the pantheon, you can.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. But, I mean, Man City is in there.
Yeah.
Barcelona, Real Madrid, they might even be – you can say that they're tailing off, but they're about to make some moves that are going to bring them right back up to top class.
They'll figure it out.
But, yeah, exactly. They will figure it out. They're not going to have problems.
They got money.
I guess you could say that – I mean, PSG, they are – without a doubt, they're at the top of the pantheon, but I mean, they're
talent-wise,
but I mean, they don't play talent. Let's say that in their French league and their domestic league, which is
Farmers
Liga
League,
one.
Man.
So yeah, but yeah, I mean, you're right. A little bit of emotional roller coaster up for you. We'll preview the Champions League here in just a little bit, but you know, your real guru-ness, as I like to say, I guess aficionado status is with transfer news, man. That's where your nugget. You find all the little gems and nuggets, man. What do you got for us this week, man?
I got a shout out a bunch of my buddies. I got the Liverpool group chat that I've been in. A bunch of guys that I've known for 5-10 years somewhere in there, and just a bunch of Liverpool fans, and we just kind of talk about transfer news and stuff and what they're seeing and what they're hearing. And I think obviously this season
that's really the best source how to obtain information.
Yeah,
anyway,
just as many people as possible, kind of getting the information out there. And I think obviously one of the big clubs that this season that's been kind of in the limelight for world football that's actually going to be making a lot of moves this offseason, unfortunately for them, is Ajax. Ajax is going to get gutted.
We talked a little bit about this last week.
Yeah. So they've got, I think probably one of the biggest young names in football right now is Matthias De Ligt. And De Ligt. Yeah.
It's probably De Ligt. I mean.
Yeah.
It looks like De Ligt to me, man. Let's Anglicize
exactly.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. And there have been lots of possibilities to where he could go. He's 19 years old. The guy's freaking 19 years old, was a captain of a semifinal Champions League team. That's incredible. Like at 19,
you're not holding him.
At 19, I was coaching 9-year-olds. I wasn't doing anything.
For
all
what,
that.
20 bucks?
Yeah, no, for free, because right. One of the dads couldn't do it. So my friend from high school, she was like, "Hey, can you coach my little brother's soccer team?" I was like, "Yeah, sure. That sounds fun. Like, why not? That's cool. This guy's out here playing
the
in the Champions
team.
This guy's out here playing in a Champions League semifinal." I've heard the one thing which makes me extremely happy as a Liverpool fan that I've heard him basically say is he's open to just about anything. He doesn't want to go to United.
Okay.
So there've been Yeah, there've been talks about him. There've been talks about him in Liverpool. There've been talks about him going to Spain. There've been talks about him going to Chelsea. There've been talks about him going.
He's not going to Chelsea for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that transfer ban's going to be tough.
Brutal.
You know, one of the hazards.
Yeah,
Thorgan Hazard.
He's on the list.
It looks like he's going to Dortmund more than likely, which if you know anything about how young players develop, that's awesome for his career. That's a great choice. So heard Hazard going to Dortmund. Speaking of Dortmund, one of the guys that's been floated around quite a bit, especially with United, Jadon Sancho, winger from Dortmund.
That's been building a lot of steam lately.
Which, I mean, let's be honest. Christian Pulisic is the face of the U.S. soccer right now.
Yeah, he's Captain America.
He lost minutes to this kid, Jadon Sancho, from England. So English clubs are going to be looking for that. So that's
And we said we'd be remiss if we didn't touch on this. Pulisic is granted transfer.
Yeah, he's going to Chelsea.
Transfer waivers into Chelsea. Chelsea's ban starts after this season ends, which is rightfully now. But yes, so no transfers for Chelsea in this summer window and the next window as well. Yeah. Brutal, man. So you're going to be developing a lot of young talent.
Yeah, it's looking like – well, so they have some young guys that were on loan that they could recall, or they have guys that were already there. Mateo Kovacic from Real Madrid is another guy that they had on loan this season, and it looks like they're trying – because of the transfer ban, they're like, okay, well
– Batshuayi.
Probably get him back. I've seen a lot of Coutinho to Chelsea, which is funny because everything that I've read has said that the people that are pushing that are the Spanish media. Like, they want him out. They're just like, he's going to Chelsea. He's going. We don't want him anymore.
I would welcome it, but it's not. Yeah, it can't happen.
Yeah, yeah. And apparently, whatever his minimum sell price is, like £86 million, which I don't think that anybody's. His stock has dropped quite a bit. He's still a world class football player.
Absolutely. But
yeah,
you're not paying that. Not that price. Not when you're getting Hazard's price is what, 100?
Yeah,
I think somewhere about that. It'll probably go for 125, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah,
Real will overpay, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Youssef Attal, the right back from Nice in France, young right back. I've seen his name linked with Chelsea a little bit, which would be. I mean, he's. He's electric. I don't watch a ton of the French league. I'll be completely honest, but I have seen some highlights. And you know, I don't know what it is about the French league. They don't have the quality of teams but there are definitely guys
just spread out.
Another guy, Adrien Rabiot, who's been kind of a problem in the locker room from all reports at PSG. He's another guy that might be on his way out, and he's linked with. Just about every club, because the guy is incredibly talented. He showed up for the French national team, won a World Cup.
There's just so many talents.
He is a great player, but he seems.
He wants to be on the ball,
and he seems very unhappy at PSG. Which, I mean, that's. I don't think you're going to get a much better environment than that from a winning standpoint, because they win everything in
but they can't win the European League.
Yeah, they win everything domestically, but yeah, they have a lot of trouble. But I mean, other than that, David Neres from Ajax, the right winger from Ajax is another one. Another Ajax player. Look, whenever you have a young core like that and they're in a smaller league, because let's face it, the Dutch league is definitely smaller than EPL, Bundesliga, La Liga, Serie A. I mean,
right.
Those guys are going to get poached, and he's one of them too. He's possibly going. That he's been linked with Chelsea also, which would be huge because he's going to be a star. The guy's going to be world class.
And remember, because they're linked, it doesn't mean that they're going there.
Yeah,
because
there's a ban on
Chelsea. Chelsea cannot take in anybody right now within the transfer window for the next two transfer windows, actually. Let's talk about – we've been talking a little bit about the French league. Let's talk about the Frenchman Antoine Griezmann. Coming out of the Spanish league, what did Atleti do here? They can't retain this dude. I mean, they're going to have to – what, he's up on his contract.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have to either pay him a significant amount of coin or
– Yeah.
What's the succession plan, though?
You were talking about $100 million plus, and that's kind of what his
name on the range, market is. Right?
It's above that. And, I saw that – one of Barcelona's actual websites accidentally, like two or three days ago, accidentally leaked a picture of a Griezmann jersey.
Now, where does he fit in that system?
That's a tough one because they play with wingers. I guess you could put him in the middle three, maybe, because that middle three, especially in the semifinal against Liverpool, they just looked old, like they couldn't move around. So maybe you drop him back a little bit, but
I don't think so. You need him up front. You need him more in an attack position there.
And you've got Dembele, you've got Suarez, you've got Coutinho, you've got Messi. Like if he goes there and they want him in the front three, he's going to be fighting for minutes. And if I'm him, I don't know if that's what I want to do, because he could literally be a starter for just like an everyday starter for just about every other team in the world. I've seen him linked. I mean, basically seen him linked everywhere. But one of the things that I did see is that if he leaves, Atletico Madrid are apparently interested in Alexander Lacazette from Arsenal. And The only thing that I'm
Letty's interested in
Lacazette? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because they're gonna have a
That'll make a lot more room for Aubameyang, but
yeah, they're gonna be in a spot where
Arsenal has Aubameyang and Lacazette on at the same time.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. It will sometimes they don't even play either of them early in the season. That was a thing that everybody was upset about. You spend all this money on these dudes, and they're just not getting playing time. Yeah, so Lacazette to Madrid to replace Griezmann's been kind of talked about, and that would make sense financially too, because you're going to get this big influx of money whenever Griezmann leaves, and that's one they're looking at. Man United's been looking at some younger talent. We talked about that
Griezmann's
a little bit.
Linked to Man United as well.
Yeah, he's linked there. Man United's been looking at Wilfried Zaha from Crystal Palace, who, especially, I think the hype on him before the season was higher than it is
it
now.
It didn't pan out. Yeah, he was supposed to have a big year this year.
This was supposed to be his year. He's incredibly talented, and let's face it, at Crystal Palace, there's not a whole lot around him.
Yeah, like, that's Benteke's still there, right? But he's old.
Yeah, he's not producing either. I mean,
right, but you'd think Benteke'd be able to teach Zaha how to play the box and
Zaha's
position wise, maybe even benefit a little bit more off of set pieces and whatnot. Yeah.
So I mean, this is one of my favorite parts of the year is whenever the transfer window opens. It opened a couple days ago, and you start to get to see where the big teams are moving. And you'll see a lot of times they'll go after guys you've never heard of, in
everything's
Portuguese
hypothetical,
league.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's just kind of like it's a lot of fun because then you get new names and you're like, ooh, what's this guy? And you maybe go look up a YouTube highlight video of him. Man City, they're going to be making moves.
This is what I don't understand about Man City. Well, I don't know why you have to – I mean, sure, you missed out on Champions League. You're not playing in the final, but, I mean, you have – we say that. I feel like we say this every week, man. You have people like Mahrez coming off and, at the hour mark, spelling, if it's Aguero or whatnot. And then you have Jesus trying to get some minutes. De Bruyne, my God, we made this fact last week. De Bruyne last year was the assist leader in Premier League. He didn't even play this year.
Yeah.
And they're still at the top of the charts, man. I don't get it.
He came against Watford in the FA Cup final. He came on in the 65th minute. he took off Mahrez.
And they clearly struggled with Watford in the FA Cup. Man, this could have been one hell of a year for Man City, man. They could have had a treble.
Yeah. Well, they had a domestic treble. They won both of the cups and the league. And I thought Pep Guardiola came out and said, domestic treble, that's harder to do than win the Champions League. And I was like,
that's Pep being Peppy, man. Real quick to the text line. Wags, just chiming in. This is your Georgetown fellow military dude that enjoys listening to you guys while taking a short drive. Well, kick on back and enjoy the ride, man. Thank you for chiming in. Thanks for listening, and we really appreciate the text, man. Appreciate that. Two questions for both you gents. One, who is your favorite player and why? And in your opinion, what is the most exciting play in soccer?
Ooh.
I'm going to have to say for me, I know the build-up, an awesome counter coming off of a tremendous build-up, and you just have three forwards springing forward and, making one hell of a run. That's a tremendous play. It's almost like an interception for me in football. But I really love the set piece, man. I really love a corner. I like seeing – I was so big. John Terry was one of my favorite players, and that piggybacks off of the first question. And, yes, I'm being a homer. It's a boy from the bridge, of course.
Yeah.
But JT, dude, he's the way he used to get up and go after it, man, and just rise above the whole crowd there and then put the ball in the head, man, and just find a way to get into the back of the net. I don't know. I love so much about set pieces, man. I love how somebody can just have the talent to curl a ball around some, like,
human wall.
Who was the dude from France? Payet. God, Payet. Dimitri Payet. This dude, he from the Hammers, man. This dude used to be able to just, with a magician. I mean, almost as good as Messi. You could pretty much say that. Messi with the left, sure. But Payet with the right coming off and just bending balls all around the wall. Beckham being able to do what he did. How about Beckham's play from 50 yards? How about Beckham's goal? Just the confidence to take that shot.
Yeah.
Knowing that the Gov is going to get you on the other end of it, man. Knowing that, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mr. Ferguson, Sir Ferguson, if I'm taking a shot like that, you better hit that because he is going to kill you if you don't make that. That's a great question. Thank you for that question, man. Joe, what about you?
So favorite player, I mean, if we're going all time, it's Steven Gerrard. That's what he's the reason I am a Liverpool fan. Right now, currently, if I had to choose a non-Liverpool player, honestly, Kevin De Bruyne. Watching what does, oh my god, the guy is incredible. Guy is, in my opinion, the best midfielder in the world, and I don't think it's really even that close.
Again, I'm going to Homer's. I really appreciate Eden Hazard. Just what his
can't go wrong.
What he can do in infield, when I mean like in as playing as a midfielder and playing up front, at, you know, in a 10 or you know even in a false 9. He still has success.
Yeah.
And not to mention, he is a world-class winger, man.
Yeah.
And he's just tremendous. It looks like the ball is always on, you know, attached to his foot by a rope.
Yeah.
He's tremendous there. You know, you'd be remiss if you didn't say Messi, but that's low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Dybala, I love what this kid Dybala is doing, and you know, for Juventus as well, right alongside of Ronaldo. I mean, I think he's... He's definitely coming in his form. How about Mbappe?
Yeah.
Right? You know, all this young talent is coming
right
out.
Now.
And I know, you know, I'm kind of stealing from the bag right now, taking more than one piece of candy on Halloween.
How can you not?
Right? It's just so much, so good. This one dude. All right, yeah, ha, ha, ha. The best part about soccer is the end. Yeah, sure. We get it.
Hey, and maybe Hazard's Hazard will listen and be like, "Oh, he's a Chelsea fan. Maybe I will stay."
No, he's
maybe
listening.
I will
he's
stay.
Listening
maybe,
to the horn.
Yeah, he might be listening.
That's true. We
he
do
might
reach
decide to
all
stay
around the world.
Yeah, definitely. No. So, from a favorite play standpoint, it's got to be the 25 to 35 yard out
free kick.
I love watching guys that can figure out a way to bend it around a wall and get it past the keeper. Just the magicians. One of my favorite all time. Guy named Shinsuke Nakamura he played for Celtic, Japanese guy. He was absolutely magical. If you could ever watch what that guy would do on set pieces, it's just because he played for Celtic, he wasn't a huge name.
Sure.
It was whenever they were a little more relevant in the Champions League and stuff. His Japanese heritage just absolutely incredible. I absolutely loved watching that guy on free kicks. He was in my opinion, from what I saw growing up, he was my favorite free kick taker to watch, and that guy just was a magician with it.
Another world-class winger that comes to my mind that used to dominate maybe a decade ago, Frank Ribery. His send-off with Aaron Robin and Thomas Mueller.
Yeah.
That's one hell of a holy trinity there in Germany.
End of an era, man. Yeah, Batman and Robin,
yep.
Ribery and Robin. That's another man. How about the Bundesliga? It came down to the last day, also. Like, you can't ask for much more. It was a two horse race. It's a two horse race. Kind of like
good race.
Kind of like the EPL.
Good race.
Yeah, and Dortmund missed out. Basically, they needed Bayern to lose, and they needed to win. They ended up winning their game. Bayern won also. So, yeah, they got the title. And yeah, the send off was really cool. Did you see? They had all sorts of tributes to him. The fans were all over the place.
I saw Robin taking Das Boot and pouring it all over everybody. So that was fun there. That was a good scene.
Yeah, I still remember one of my favorite memories of Ian Robin is watching him hit a first timer off a corner kick against Manchester United in the Champions League. He was top of the box before it even hit the ground, just rifled it into the corner, straight off of a corner kick, opposite side of the box. One of the most amazing like technical goals I've ever seen. So difficult to do that, and he did it. And the guy was incredible for them for so long. And you know, we'll see what happens.
We'll talk. Yeah, go ahead. I'll let you finish.
And you're Chelsea guy. Robin used to play for Chelsea.
He did, but he had hair back then. He didn't.
Kind of. The guy was like 21 years old.
It was feathered.
And, yeah, the guy was 21 years old.
Feathered and lethal.
He looked about 35. The guy's been 35 forever. Like, that's just kind of how he looks. Yeah.
But again, you can't drink from the fountain of youth forever. It's gotta end. We'll talk a little bit more. This has been a good little. I like this. Good little rabbit hole we went down. We'll talk a little bit about, you know, our favorite player and the favorite play. Ronaldo screamer. From about 35 yards comes to mind. We'll talk a little bit about that on the other side of it. You're listening to The Fill-In on The Horn. Welcome back to The Fill-In. I am your host, Adam Wagner. You can find me on Twitter at NotTheFakeWags. Sitting in shotgun with me is Joe Houston. You can find him on Twitter, Joe Houston Jr. And the man behind the glass is Sam Pika. He is not on Twitter. Sorry to disappoint you. But he is in my heart. Is he in your heart? No. He should be with this music. This is some good jams right here, man. Coming in off some little FIFA soundtrack. On the other side, before we broke, we were talking about our favorite players and, you know, the favorite play in the beautiful game of soccer. And I alluded to the set piece. That's pretty vague. But actually, it's the corner, you know, just the ability of a defender to get into the play. You know what I mean? To get into the offensive side of the game and ability to rise up over top of everybody. And that's also where you see, like, the dirty stuff happening to
you.
And you know what I'm talking about. Right before somebody goes to jump up and get the ball, you step on their on their feet. You know what I mean? You dig their cleat. You dig your spikes into their toes so they can't jump up and everything. Everybody out there that's played the game knows what I'm talking about.
I was that guy.
You're right.
I was not the best player, but I was probably one of the best at getting away with dirty things.
Ineffective player.
Yeah, corner kicks. I would take my thumb and shove it into a guy's
rib.
Rib. So yeah,
or the armpit.
Yeah, they can't jump. I'm gonna jump, and if my thumb's in your rib, you're leaning sideways. Like, what the heck? And you can't jump. You're not
you
out
can't
jumping.
Put a head on the ball accurately.
I always looked extremely tall whenever I was on. I'm a taller guy, but I looked real tall when I was jumping because I made sure I was being kind
of
dirty. Yeah, that was me, man. And there's something to be said about the corner kick, too, especially if you're able to score off a corner in a home game, everybody on the field is already so close to the crowd. The celebrations are always really cool. The atmosphere gets really ramped up because they're so close.
You speak about that. Almost every venue, the fan base and the supporters are essentially, 10 feet?
Exactly.
Maybe, if that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can spit on them.
Exactly.
You really can. You can have a conversation, talk about dinner.
Yeah,
it's fish and chips for the most part over in England, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and the fact that they're so close, I think that kind of adds to the extra excitement of
scoring
off a corner. You already have basically eight guys close enough to the fans where they can reach out and shake their hands. So whenever you score, you're already there, and it's just a big group celebration.
You're essentially sliding into the corner, and you're seeing everybody just right there. You can get – talk about a selfie, you know what I mean? If you got one of these – I got a – iPhone 6, it sucks. it does the job, but when it takes pictures, it doesn't really have good camera quality. I really need to update. But, and I'm sorry, I'm about to go on a rant real quick. What is up and I'm calling you out, Verizon, I'm sorry. You've been great to me, but I'm calling you out. Why do we used to have this thing called new with every two, where you every 2 years you'd get a contract and you'd get a free phone or whatever. Huh. Now you got to buy every damn phone. What is up with this?
And they're not cheap.
They're not. They're like, a thousand? My kid. Dad, what do you want for your birthday, bud? Just an iPhone XR, 17,000. It's like a
How much it cost?
It's like $1,200. I ain't got time for that.
Yeah, I fell.
I'm in radio, buddy. Yeah. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah. I fell
working
down
on Sunday. What do you think I'm doing?
A couple months ago, I fell down with my. I tripped over one of our dogs at the house and fell down and had my phone in my hand and fell on the corner of our fireplace and broke my phone.
No.
And I had just gotten that new phone, and I was like, oh. So I had to pay that one off because they make you do the payment plans, and then I had to buy a new one. I was just like, oh my gosh.
It's not even worth it.
Arm and a leg.
Like,
I wish.
And this screen's cracked.
Yeah.
And it's so slow because it's almost on the last operating system of iOS, and it just really doesn't do its job effectively as it used to.
Yeah.
But we got asked the question, what is or who is your favorite player? And, it's JT. It's two Chelsea players, JT and probably Eden Hazard, if I'm talking about it, living in the moment right now, players that I appreciate. I definitely, it's Mbappe. We're talking about
so
players
young
right now. I really like what Dybala's doing. Let's see. Everybody's so big on Neymar, but, I mean, is Neymar challenged? I mean, that's the thing. Was Neymar challenged with Messi and Suarez too, know what I mean? Salah, how can you be remiss if we didn't speak about Mohamed Salah?
Yeah, I love Salah.
And just the run that he's on. But that's also, I think that can be said for Klopp. Like, Jurgen Klopp gets the most, gets the optimal skill out of his players.
He's my favorite human in sports. I just love watching the guy's interviews, his demeanor, his mentality, just kind of how he carries himself. Just seems like a super likable dude, too. Like, just someone that you'd be like, I'd hang out with that guy. I'd go grab a beer with him. Like, he seems like a really cool guy. And I think that's one of the qualities of his that has been so – that has helped him to be so successful in world football is that – all his players, they like him. They genuinely like him, and so they want him to like them also. And by that, I mean if they perform, he after every game he goes up and gives his guys hugs individually.
Sure.
And I think that the rapport he has with his players and how he's a player coach. They love him. They love him. And we talked about it last week a little bit. Part of the reason that he's been so successful also is that he's able to get guys that are not getting playing time every week. He's able to get them ready and play in big moments.
Well, he's got a very strong, intimate feeling for his players.
Yeah.
You know, and he knows – it just goes – that's a testament to how he knows the ins and outs of his players to be able to call them on in the 88th minute and be like, hey, go get this goal.
Yeah, and, you know, the guys that don't play very often seem to show up. He makes – and the amount of times that – I told y'all about that group chat that I'm in. He'll make a move at halftime or right around halftime, and me and the guy's like, oh, why would you do that? Why would you do – and it ends up working. And it's like, oh, yeah, because we're idiots, and he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
That's why he would do that. He's not going to listen to some schmuck living in Austin watching soccer over there. Like, yeah, so he's – every time the guy makes a move, it seems to be the right move, even if – going into that, I'm like, why would – I don't know if that's a great idea. No, it always is. Every single time. The guy's been incredible. Yeah, you were saying your favorites, Chelsea. You got any outside of Chelsea, like, legends, basically, that you really like? Anybody that, like, in the last 10, 20 years that you're, like, really love watching?
I appreciated Ruud van Nistelrooy.
Yeah.
He was really good at what he did at his craft for Man United, well, just all around the world. He's played at a few clubs. God, Zola, you know, I think about Ruud, and I think right to Frankie Zola. Let's see. I'd have to say,
you're a Ronaldinho guy.
I do like Ronaldinho.
The cheekiness.
I also like the chubby Ronaldo as well. I mean,
Fat Ronaldo.
Ronaldo, dude. He was great growing up.
He was a beast, man.
Dude, yeah, he was so good.
How about
Carlos Valderrama? Oh,
yeah.
Remember him back in the day
with the
long crazy hair for Colombia. He was doing great stuff out there.
Man.
If I'm thinking about guys coming in today, I really appreciate, and I'm just going to the French team a lot too, man. I like Cowan. I think what Cowan, he's a young talent from the French team that doesn't really get much call up.
Yeah.
Let's go with you gotta say Griezmann, man. And again, we talked about this, and I'd like to touch on, you know, any transfer rumors as well. How about Dybala?
Yeah,
over there from Juventus.
You know what's crazy? He didn't make the Argentinian squad in the World Cup. They didn't even grab him.
I'm glad you mentioned something, because a person that failed to make the Brazilian team last cycle made it this cycle with Carlson.
Did
you see the reaction at his home?
Yeah,
I mean, sitting there in a room with all of his family, and then that shows you how much it means to be on the national team.
The pride there is huge.
It's very. I mean, I don't want to say it's that we don't have pride, you know, getting a call up for our national team, but you can see it means just a little bit more, man.
Yeah.
It's like a rite of passage.
Yeah.
It really is. It's like, okay, that solidifies everything that I've done throughout, you know, my time.
Yeah.
Essentially. And I'm sure it does for American players as well, but just the grind, the rigorous routine, what it's going to do for their families. I mean, there's so much socioeconomic status that comes into everything with this sport. That's why it's the world sport. You know, so many. All you need is a ball and a pair of legs.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And everybody can play it. And it brings beautiful moments like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to touch on a little bit about that. We're already up. Let's tease a little bit about the EPL final, or the UCL final, rather.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of it, we'll touch just a little bit on and give our predictions. All right, so how we got here, we had Ajax coming up just short
to
one hell of a surge, Tottenham Hotspur, who got hot in the minute. Lucas Moura essentially got hot, getting the hat trick essentially to send him into the final. And let's touch a little bit back on that.
Yeah, that was the darlings of the tournament. Ajax is a young squad. Their captain, we talked about him, Matthew De Ligt. 19 years old. They had a captain 19 years old that was in the Champions League semifinals, which most clubs in the world can't even say they've been there. They haven't even been to that point. Most players in the world can't even say that they've been to that point. And they have a young core. They played extremely well in the first leg, won the first leg 1-0, scored two goals early in the second leg, and Tottenham came surging back without Harry Kane. Without their main man, without Hurricane. I talked about it a little bit last week. I was crushed for Ajax just because I thought that would have been huge for them. I mean, it's still no one's going to say that their season wasn't a success, but to be able to reach a Champions League final would have been really cool for them. Even as a Liverpool fan,
because they won't get back here for a while.
It'll be a while because we've talked about it. Three or four of their best players are already the transfer window opened 2 days ago, and they're already they're probably gone.
We know how Liverpool got here, being four goals down in aggregate. Three goals down to the top club, arguably the top club in the world. One of the top of the pantheons, or a club that's on the top of the pantheon there. It would have to be Barcelona, and they did it in tremendous fashion, scoring four goals of their own, and the Reds hail to victory and move on to the UCL final.
Yeah, I'd given up. I was like, yeah, not a big deal. They're down 3-0. They didn't deserve the 3-0. They actually outplayed Barcelona.
They played very well.
In the first leg, they played in Barcelona.
Inopportune goals.
And I think most of the pundits were even saying, they didn't deserve that
3-0. Maybe 1-0,
but they could have easily won that game, and you would have been like, yeah, that makes sense too. So to get out of there 3-0 felt really bad, but I had kind of come to terms with it. But, you know, I'm human, and I make mistakes, and I will never doubt them ever again going back to Anfield for anything Champions League related, because that was an incredible comeback. I still can't believe that happened and how it happened without having two of your best players, without Mohamed Salah, who was the player of the year before, without Roberto Firmino, who has been one of the most important players.
Bobby playing June 1st?
I think so. I read reports yesterday that he's training now.
That's a good sign. He
should be. Minimal training, still training.
2 weeks away.
If he's 2 weeks away and he's out on the pitch a little bit right now, then it's looking like he's going to be able to play, which would be huge. Because, I mean, but to be fair, they didn't miss a beat without him.
Yeah, but look, I mean, you still want him.
Yeah, you want him. You want him. You want him. He is a better option than Divock Origi. There's a reason he started all season. But man, talk about a guy who can score without getting a whole lot of minutes, who can actually influence a game coming off the bench. Divock Origi's done that all season. He scored the late goal against Everton early in the season. Basically, just a one off. The ball just kind of dinked around in the box a little bit.
Ping pong.
Pickford made a mistake. It bounces off the crossbar, and Divock's there to head it
home.
Does
he have the worst luck? Pickford's such a great keeper. He is. He's a tremendous keeper, but he's just got bad luck.
Yeah.
So sometimes he's just out of position. He finds himself out of position, just, you know, laxed.
He got shredded. He got shredded for that. The media was all over him for that. It was because it wasn't a huge mistake. It was hard to judge where the ball was going to be. He went to go after it, and it hit off the crossbar and fell right to Divock Origi in about the 89th minute, and he scored a game winner. He did this, and he just scored two goals without playing pretty much all season in a Champions League semifinal against Barcelona. The other guy they bring on, Gini Wijnaldum, scores the other two. Like, it's just
It's Wijnaldum. Wijnaldum.
Wijnaldum. Because I think in most other languages, the J sounds like a Y.
Yeah, I'm English. I just anglicize it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm lazy.
Yeah. So
I just say Wijnaldum.
Yeah. I mean, I think both work. I'm sure he.
But probably, I want to say it correctly. How are you saying it?
I think it's Wijnaldum.
Wijnaldum. Okay.
I think. Wijnaldum. I mean, I could be screwing
usually
it
if
up
you
also.
Listen to the British broadcasters, they say it correctly.
Yeah, they're pretty good about it. Yeah. No. So that was incredible. Just the fact that you're down 3-0 to the best team in the world, and have the amount
able to persevere. Yeah, man.
Without two of your best players, it just shows the strides that this team has made, and to not give up a goal.
That's the tremendous the last part, because that's all they needed was one road goal, and that was it.
It would have been really tough. Yeah, and the last 4, 5, 6 years before Virgil van Dijk was on the team, before they got Alisson, the problem had always been, as a Liverpool fan, you're like, okay, we can score with anybody, but can we stop anybody?
We
no. And now literally two pieces got added.
Klopp even said if he knew Allison was going to be this good, he would have paid him a lot more, too.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Everybody was making a big stink about having Allison, how much they paid for Allison.
And but he led the league in clean sheets.
Absolutely. I mean,
22.
Phenomenal. Outstanding. All right, on the other side of it, we'll break it down. We'll give our predictions about the Champions League final. It's an English final. It's what we're getting. How can you argue it anymore, man? It's the best league out there in the world. It's Premier League for a reason. It's called that for a reason. It is the Premiership, and it's bringing their best. Their top two teams, the top two clubs in England, are going to square off for a Champions League final, a European final, a European championship played from the England squads. Yep. Don't think we need to beat a dead horse about that anymore. All right, when we come back, it's more of the fill-in. You're listening to us on the Horn. Dance, 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 dance. Welcome back to the fill-in. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm your host, Adam Wagner. Joined in shotgun by Joe Houston, and we are at the club.
Night at the Roxbury.
Scotty doesn't know. Sam Pica behind the glass, bringing you in and off these European Austin radio airwaves, baby. Scotty doesn't know. Before we went to the break, we were talking, just previewing a little bit about this Champions League final. The all-English Premier League Champions League final. And talking about Tottenham Hotspur, talking about the dynamic trio, the three-headed attack Hydra, if they're actually going to play, of the Liverpool Reds.
Yeah.
I think they're all going to be healthy, man. I think it's going to...
Yeah, that's what it's looking like.
Things going to bode for a tremendous Champions League final, and right now we got to give our predictions, Joe, and I'm going to have to give you greens, man. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, and I think everybody, for the most part,
knows what's about to happen.
Yeah, knows what should happen. Now, it's one match. So anything,
no home field advantage. We're going to Spain.
Yeah, exactly. Anything legitimately
can
happen.
We're going to Madrid here.
I would say Liverpool 3-1. I think that might have been what I said last week. Liverpool 3-1 with an own goal by someone on Liverpool.
Did we give predictions? We did give predictions.
Maybe we might. I can't remember if we did it on air, if we just talked about it off air. But yeah, I think 3-1 Liverpool. They're too much. I would assume so. They were too much during the season. I can't picture living in a world where Tottenham beats Liverpool in the Champions League final and I'm able to deal with Tottenham fans. I'm dreading that. That's one of the reasons I wanted Ajax to win. One, because they were the underdog and it would have been a cool story. Two, because if Liverpool loses to Ajax, there's not a whole lot of Ajax fans out there that are going to be giving me crap.
Right.
But there's a lot of Tottenham fans
that will
for sure be roasting. Oh, yeah, Liverpool coming in second again. I don't want to hear any of that. I don't want it. I don't want it. So I need Liverpool to win for my sanity.
It looks like it could bode well for you, man. Out of the last five, you got the Reds taking three of them, just one draw. So Tottenham only squeezing out one win or one positive thing. I guess if you want to call a draw positive, that's you're getting a point there. But it looks like it's going to be a Liverpool win, a Liverpool victory. I'm going to have to say I think Tottenham will have their back line a little bit more disciplined, just a bit, not too much more, but just a bit. So I'm calling maybe a 2-1 match. I definitely think
that'd be stressful.
Maybe you see a goal from Sun here, probably.
I love that.
Maybe set. I'm gonna have to say a set piece. I don't think you'll see two. Actually, I don't even know if you get a set. I think that Liverpool will be more susceptible to a goal when the ball's in play.
Yeah.
Than a set piece.
Yeah, with Van Dijk now.
Yeah,
definitely.
I think they're too strong back there. Maybe even Mane gets on the board when the ball is in play for Liverpool, and then a set piece coming from maybe Robertson, maybe tipped in off of Van Dijk. Maybe I'm trying to use my crystal ball here. Maybe that's the two goals coming from the Reds.
I like it.
And then I'm gonna have to say Tottenham's goal comes while the ball's in play. It's probably gonna come from Ali or Son. A 2-1 victory coming from the Reds, and they will hoist the European Championship.
Yeah, calm down,
Joe.
Yeah, one. I'm gonna need to. If it's a one goal game late, I'm gonna be stressing out. I was going to go over to BD Riley's, which is a Liverpool fan bar, and watch it, but I just realized the other day that one of my best friend's birthdays, his girlfriend's putting together a really awesome birthday for him. We're going to do like an Amazing Race-themed thing where we all get into groups and stuff, so I'll just be pretending to have fun while I'm listening and watching on my phone.
While you're just dying in stress?
Yeah. I'm gonna attempt. So hopefully it can get put away early for my health.
Do you ever, I mean, I know that I don't usually enjoy when I'm supporting a team, like if Chelsea's playing in a huge game, and that hasn't been for a while.
Yeah.
Even football, you know, let's go cross, you know, cross sports here. Let's cross branch sports. Even when, you know, the Capitals were playing, even when the Giants are playing, I don't enjoy it. I don't, when it's a huge game, when it means a lot, I don't really, I mean, it's a crucial, it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
No, it's not even fun to watch. I'm glad I'm watching it.
Yeah.
But it's a lot better when I'm watching the replay.
Yeah.
And I know it's a good result, a positive result. But
yeah.
The agony of defeat.
Yeah.
Man, just
getting,
my heart's been ripped out too much, man. It's been too brutal.
There are some tough moments. Yeah. I enjoy watching it with other people that enjoy watching it. If I'm watching it by myself, I'm not doing too well because I'm kind of stressing a little bit by myself. But no, I think I agree with you. I enjoy after. The feeling after if they won is one of the best in the world. It's one of my favorite things. During goals, like right after a goal, that's a pretty cool moment too.
Good euphoria.
Yeah, that's a really good feeling. But whenever you give up a goal, last season in the Champions League final, when Gareth Bale hit that bicycle kick, that was not a good feeling.
Like,
that
my wife thinks I'm nuts. She gets so annoyed at me because I yell at the TV. Like, I am one of those dudes. I will scream at the TV like they can hear me. You know what I mean? I don't get it. It's probably because Tom McKay hooked up my house with almost every optimal piece of viewing and listening piece of gear, you know, in the world. So, thank you, Sam. 2 minutes, Sam says. But... thank you very much. Sam's kicking ass. Yeah, we can say that, kicking ass. But no, it's probably because Tom hooked it up, dude.
Yeah.
I just didn't. I don't know. I enjoy a lot of good soccer, and we're going to see really good quality soccer in this European final, so it's going to be good.
And you brought up Son. Son is incredible for Tottenham. They've got quality. They have legitimate star power, and as much as we're being positive about Liverpool, it is one game, and Son and Harry Kane and Dele Alli and Lucas Moura, they have the guys that could pull it off for sure. They have quality all around the pitch too. And, you know, yes, Liverpool's the favorite, and I almost prefer not being the favorite because if you lose, it's like, well, you know, you played a better team.
Right.
If Liverpool loses, that's going to be tough. Last year, Real Madrid with Ronaldo, one of the best teams in the world, if not the best team in the world, hands down. And losing to them, I was like, okay, they're a better team. This year, I don't know if I could stomach it.
Lots of criticism real quick. I know we're up against it. We got 1 minute left. Do you think that the two teams that are in the Champions League final belong in the Champions League final?
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah.
Hard to argue that, right?
Yeah. I mean, if Tottenham hadn't really beaten that many teams... They beat City. City, to me, is one of the best three teams in the world. Barcelona is the other best three team in the world. Liverpool and Tottenham both beat two of the best three teams in the world, in my opinion. So, yeah. Yeah, they both deserve it.
So the Ajax argument is out. The Cinderella story is out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that is Joe Houston. If you want more soccer talk, stick around after the Wagon Wire. And for 2 more hours now, we're going to go a little bit more fantasy-centric type of stuff. We're going to encompass all sports. We're going to talk a little bit of Game of Thrones too, so you know, give a Game of Thrones prediction. Isaiah Collier is going to jump in here for a little bit, talk a little bit about NBA with me. Had a really good playoffs there. Good matchup last night. We all kind of knew what Golden State was going to do. But like I mentioned, stick around in the 12 o'clock hour. Glenn Davis is jumping back on to talk a little bit more soccer with Soccer Matters. Until then, on the other end of it, enjoy my beautiful voice.